Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. The effort to legalize cannabis for medical or personal use, as well as hemp production for industry and energy, is heating up in Missouri. Host Jessica Thomas has brought together citizens from many of these efforts to talk about the why, the how, and the when of their campaigns. Later, stay tuned for our calendar of events in the middle of the show and the 420 drug war news at the end of the show. Now, stay tuned for Jessica and her guests.
Good morning and welcome to the Jaws of Justice here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We always sound so calm and cool, and radio sounds so good, like we're all together. But the weather has all kinds of different plans for us. And so my guest that was coming in this morning is probably either A, left me a message that said that he's stuck in snow and traffic and can't make it in this morning, or B, he's rushing to get here, and we'll see him and we'll usher him in as soon as he gets in. And we had lined up so perfectly for all the phone calls to happen. Oh, yay! All the phone calls to happen. Yes, our guest just walked in. For all the phone calls to happen in a specific order. And, of course, the best laid plans of producers and Jessica work out this way. But we're going to get everything set up here in just a second. Our guest just walked in. And I'm excited about that because we have someone to speak to some medical issues. We also have joining us on the phone this morning, Vince Jennings will be calling in. And I'm referring back because there's so many of these issues that are happening coming up. And a lot of people are curious about what's going on. We're going to kind of wade through it a little bit this morning and let you all know what's going on. So we're getting to this point where we got to focus our energy in order to get these things done. And with me this morning in the studio is Jim. And Jim has a son, as a matter of fact, who's currently working with a disease, a leukemia.
Right.
Am I correct? That's correct. And he's in Children's Mercy Hospital. And, you know, Jim's here to speak to a couple of issues, and one of them being that his son is allowed to have a legal synthetic drug, which is known as Marinol or Dronabinol.
That's correct.
Marinol is what he's on?
Dronabinol, but at the hospital it's Marinol.
Oh, cool.
They won't give him the generic at the hospital.
Okay, so
One is the same thing.
Right, and, you know, of course we realize that's like a synthetic and not the plant, but the fact that this synthetic of the plant is assisting to help get there is the point that we're trying to make. People are recognizing, or hospitals, everyone recognizes at this point. Everybody knows this works for us, and his wonderful son is getting this. That's really assisting him with a lot of issues that he's got going on right now, because he is taking traditional chemotherapy.
Right. And Noah is his name, and his he was diagnosed in July with leukemia.
Uh-huh.
And the way the law is written right now, basically they have to try everything else first,
right,
before they're allowed to use Marinol. So basically, he suffered from July until Christmas night, off and on with nausea and not being able to eat, and he had a really hard time. But finally, on Christmas night, we were at the hospital through the whole Christmas break, that talked the doctors into letting him try Marinol, and he took two doses. The next morning he got up and he was eating, and he was basically heading back to the intensive care unit. He had been so weak and had not eaten in so many days, but it took some effort to get them to use the product. And I think it's because medical marijuana is not allowed in this state.
Okay, now when you say to use the product, are you talking about the doctors or your child?
the doctors.
Okay, because your kid was pretty open to it.
Yeah, no, he didn't care.
Okay,
didn't
okay.
care. And actually, after he was taking it, many times the nurses and doctors asked if he was feeling okay.
Uh-huh.
So they were trying to see if he was getting some kind of a psychoactive reaction. But the reality is all it did was it took away his nausea and it gave him an appetite. And it didn't – I asked him today, how do you feel? You feeling anything? He's still not – he's taking it today. He's still not feeling a buzz.
Right.
But this is what everyone's fear is. And what I want to make sure everybody understands is if you're familiar with homeopathic remedies, homeopathic remedies are opposite. They do opposite of what – your body needs. If you have a fever, you take belladonna. The belladonna brings your fever down. If you don't have a fever and you take belladonna, you get a fever. I think the same thing is happening with marijuana. It's in the Marinol product is that if you have a condition, it fixes the condition, but it doesn't actually give you a buzz because he never has had any kind of a psychoactive. I think if you took that Marinol and you were totally normal, nothing wrong with you, you'd probably catch a buzz.
I think too that, you know, how long has he been taking it now? How long has
since Christmas Eve.
Yeah, you know, there'll be some bit of a tolerance that.
Yeah, but he never had anything at all. So.
Great. And, you know, we do have a caller calling in, and it's going to be one of a few people, and I want him to join this discussion so we can start to open it because we're going to, oh, that's the machine that goes bing and not the kind that tells you you're dying. Yeah, put the headphones on and you can hear the call. And who do we have on the line this morning? Where are you calling from?
Well, good morning. My name is Connie Gregory. Actually, it's Connie Boudreau. I'm out of Springfield, Missouri.
Good morning, Connie.
The Gregory part is just a dream of getting my maiden name back.
Awesome. And as you heard the conversation, hang on a second, you got turning me off there. There we go. You heard the conversation, and we have Jim in the studio with us, and we're speaking right now to his son. Are you hearing anything over
yes,
there yet?
Yes,
oh, awesome! Yeah. Yay!
You got it.
So we're speaking to the medical benefits this morning that his son is receiving just from a synthetic, which just way beyond the point. Our government just recently sold 3 patents itself to pharmaceutical companies of a plant that doesn't have any medical benefits. But in just joining us in the discussion, Connie, we're talking about what's going on with Noah right now and the benefits and the fact that, you know, there's like a lot of people are like, are you getting high? Are you getting high? Well, I want to ask, Jim, does Noah receive anything for pain right now?
He pretty much refuses to take pain medication because when he was in the PICU, basically they had him addicted to morphine. And he knows what that does to him, and he will tolerate a lot of pain before he will accept any pain medication. He took some Benadryl last night, but that was basically to help him sleep. So no, he won't.
So he's
usually
getting some
won't
relief.
Take he won't take pain meds usually. He knows what they do to him, and
that does make him feel funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So,
and so, are you kind of hoping that you know something will be done here pretty soon?
Well, I was down in Jeff City last week. Right. And I spoke to a couple senators, and some of the senators are very open to the concept. Others are very concerned that if they pass a medical marijuana bill, that it's going to lead to open recreational marijuana, which they don't want. And I can understand their point of view. They're basically uninformed about what's happening. But the senators that I talked to about their concerns, I told them what had happened with Noah and how I saw a direct effect of this THC, which if you're talking about the
psychoactive
the oils,
component, right.
The oils are actually working better than just the THC. So anybody that's read up on this knows this. They were open to review it again.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the reactions that we saw down there at the State House in Missouri, in Jeff City, there's probably about a 50% chance of medical marijuana being passed at this point is what the feeling was.
And Connie is in, you're in Springfield, aren't you, Connie? Hello? Are you there?
Lost Connie.
Did we lose Connie? Okay. We lost Connie there. We dropped our call. It's okay. Well, she'll join us back again. They'll give me a second, 'cause we do have another caller calling in. But I think, what we were gonna say, Connie is a former healthcare worker and patient herself. Caller, please tell me who you are and where you're calling from. Is it okay to put you on the air?
Yeah, Jessica, it's Connie Gregory again.
I think I
dropped myself.
Oh, no, that's fine. You know,
but
Connie is a patient, a former healthcare worker, a former participant in Canada's medical marijuana program, and recently relocated back here. Now you're an activist in Springfield, and you also attended hearings recently, did you not? Or?
Yes, I waited a year. I've been back a year. I must say Canada, their medical cannabis program, although not be perfect, it is nationwide. I give them kudos for that. Last week, I was also in Jefferson City with Jim and a bunch of other wonderful folks with Show Me Cannabis and various organizations. We spoke to our representatives, our legislatures. A lot of them were quite open to the medical cannabis, you know, being made available in Missouri. And a lot of them have questions. I mean, this whole thing, I realize we have it now in 22 states, but the whole conversation in Missouri is actually kind of new, I guess you could say. And they're quite receptive. I think it's a matter of educating them on, I heard Jim, you were talking with Jim about the synthetic that his son has taken, which is just amazing, you know, that it does. Now it's just like with anything else. The synthetic will help some, but not others. Some politicians, I find, want to take medical cannabis and put it in a spray, put it in a pill, or what have you, which, if it works for the patient, that is fine. But when it comes right down to it, the natural state that it comes in, some people, that's what works for them. So, I mean, we need to not limit how it's made available.
Agreed.
It should be available in any way that will help someone.
I think a lot of people are just concerned with the process of manufacturing it, which if you can actually go online, and if you can make a cup of coffee, you can make this preparation for yourself. The dangers being the solvent or alcohol that's used to extract that could cause fire. So, you know, there's that. But it's like as cooking with French fries, boiling oil, you know, to make French fries in a restaurant any more dangerous? Probably not.
Exactly.
And the fact that, you know, I think parents and people are looking to maybe – 5 plants in your yard or something that you can actually have on a regular basis to extract that all benefits for your entire family. I mean, it's
exactly.
Not just waiting until you're sick, not sure. Being the last hope, but being the first line of defense.
Exactly. It as far as the process for, say, like making the oil for children, which is what a lot of children take, whether it be the very low THC content, and some children with seizures require a THC content. That seems to be a myth, you know, a lot of people are not aware of. But as far as the processing that they do with the oil, I mean, I understand you're getting into using some explosive stuff, but like you said, it's also, is it more dangerous than doing French fries? But the way of doing it is also progressing to where they're not having, I do not remember the article exactly, but there was discussion about another way of doing the oil. Still requires a little bit of fire, but you're not looking at the combustion, I guess you could say, or fire hazard of some of the chemicals people are having to use now.
Okay, Connie. So check this out. We've got Vince Jennings joining us on the line, and Vince is...
I love Vince.
Yeah, he's going to join us on the line as well as we've got our Jim in the studio with us, and we're all going to try to get some voices heard. So we're going to kind of go back and forth because none of us really wanted to speak to going out in our backyards and making the oil right now. What we're trying to speak to is people want the plants accessible so that they're family can be well in a natural manner with a natural plant. Vince is joining us on the line, and we're going to introduce him. Vince, where are you calling from?
Marionville, Missouri.
Awesome. And why we're opening up the second piece is because Vince has authored some legislation, and he's going to speak to just a piece of it, but if we can just like all kind of like breathe and as we talk through this, because each part of the discussion, and we also want to open up the line because we're going to have some other folks as well joining us. I wanted to speak to Connie really quickly, just the fact that Connie has come back from a successful. What do you think that the Canadian program was successful? It's just kind of a yes or no, Connie. What do you think?
As far as the treatment, yes, it is to me. In 2 days, I went from a drooling, babbling idiot, bedridden. 2 days of cannabis therapy, I was out with my walker at a shopping mall. So I let people judge for themselves.
Exactly.
But yes, to me, it was 100% successful.
Connie, can I have you just kind of, we're going to go ahead and go with Vince, and we're going to open up that next line so that we can get our next caller in who's going to speak to some of these 11 points, 11 pieces of legislation that have been filed. And we just really want to briefly, the idea behind this is to let everybody know how ridiculous this is to have 11 pieces out there. We need to get in the room and negotiate this down into a piece or two pieces that can be agreeable to every organization that's trying to file a piece of legislation. That's 11. It's too much. Let's get it narrowed down. Listen in there and then hop back in after we pull in. Thanks, Connie. Hey, and then we're going to bring up to Vince. Thanks, Connie. We'll talk to you in a minute. Hey, Vince. And then you're joining us, Jim and I, in the studio. Vince.
Hi, Vince.
Hi, Jim. I've been listening to your great testimony about your son. So
thanks.
And Vince, you have written a piece of the legislation. Also, you're working with Jeff Manzanski. I know the governor finally did say his case warrants review, which is awesome. I mean, someone serving life for a cannabis crime, it's just ridiculous. But we know that, and we're not going to try to touch that here right at this moment, because we at least finally got the governor to say this case warrants a review, which is like such great news. I bet Jeff is getting excited. He has no idea how many people are out here. Or does he? Does he know how many?
He does. He knows all the support he's getting. He sure does.
Awesome. And can you just speak to the piece that you filed?
Okay. Mine is concerning medical marijuana. And what it does, you go to a doctor, and he examines you, and then he reviews your medical history. And if he feels that using cannabis for treatment outweighs the risk of taking it, which I can't think of any risk, but that's besides the point, then he issues a certification. He can't legally write a prescription because the federal government has said that cannabis is a class one drug, but he can write what's called a certification. And then that individual takes the certification to the state of Missouri, you know, mails it, or I was thinking about maybe them, you know, doing their photo and so forth at the DMV. You already have the equipment there. And then they receive a medical card for to use marijuana for treatment.
Okay, so that's like basically what your piece of legislation focuses on?
Uh-huh. And children can also receive treatment under this, as long as they have a parental consent and a doctor's recommendation. The only thing different is, you know, they have to have the parental consent.
Okay, so now in this piece of legislation that you've written, does this allow for home cultivation?
Concerning home cultivation, what we've done, instead of saying you can have so many plants, because not so many people are really skilled at growing cannabis. So instead of going with you can have 30 plants that are dying on the vine, or what we're doing is saying you can have in your possession at any time 3 ounces or less.
Okay. Is that okay?
So we're going according to how much usable cannabis that they have in their possession, that they can have up to 3 ounces at any time.
Okay, so this does not allow for someone to, do you know approximately how much oil can be extracted from 3 ounces?
I have no idea. You're talking about using oil, for instance, for juveniles?
For anyone.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the exact measurements are.
I think according to the website, in order you can extract about 70 grams, 70 to 85 grams from a pound of cannabis.
Uh-huh.
And it takes, if you've done chemo or radiation, you'll need 90 grams over a 3-month period in order to cure yourself or heal yourself. And that seems like that's off a pound. It seems to me that like the smaller amount wouldn't be quite enough to get that. So are you suggesting that, dispensaries then, provide, the oil already made and access to that?
Correct. See, you're going to have different tiers, under my proposal. You're going to have your mass growers, you know, who grow cannabis on a large scale, and then they distribute that to the dispensaries. And then the dispensaries are the ones who sell to the patients.
Okay.
Somebody along the way has to process it.
Correct. It would either be the grower or the person who, you know, purchased it from the grower. But, you know, a grower can't sell directly to the medical patient. You have a, tier there in between the two. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Right.
But like I said, an individual can also grow their own. You know, some people get the thrill out of it. I mean, they like growing their own cannabis. And plus, they may be living 100 miles away from the nearest dispensary, and plus dispensaries have been known to run out of product. So by, you know, a person growing their own, you know, they can maintain a steady supply, and it's also probably more economical, too.
I think what you'll see at the State House, from what my perception was, is that it's going to take little steps. We're not going to get large changes down there at that at Jeff City. They're going to be little steps, unfortunately. And so this might be a way to get the first step done, even though it's not a large amount. It might be a way to get the first step done because a lot of those guys are very the politicians are very worried about widespread cannabis use, it already happens already, but they don't recognize that.
That's true. And the thing about Missouri is if they went straight from prohibition to full-out legalization, they would be the first state in the union to do that without having medical marijuana already in place. Right. So it's going to be a big leap to go from prohibition to legalization. Whereas if we go medical marijuana in between, then, you know, we already have the growers set up, the dispensary set up, and so forth in the event that they do go to recreational marijuana down the line. And my opinion of the legislature is this, that they're seeing these bills coming up, not only in Missouri, but all across the country, and they're sort of freaking out because whether you can believe it or not, the state legislature likes to think that they're in control. And so I really see, I think they've filed 7 pieces of legislation.
11.
11? Okay.
11. So how would we know your piece? Does it have a name, like a title, a number?
It's a Compassionate Care, Compassionate Cannabis Care Act, but it will have to be first approved by the Secretary of State since it will be an amendment. And so they're going to have to approve that. And then from there, once it's approved, we have to get 8% of the people, of the registered voters who voted for the governor back in 2012, which translates to be about 160,000 signatures. And then once those signatures are gathered together, they're certified by the Secretary of State, and then it goes on the ballot to be voted on. But the nice thing about a constitutional amendment is that the legislature can't screw around with it, because they like changing things up there in Jeff City. So.
Is that correct?
Pardon me?
Isn't that more of a long-term strategy? What you're proposing?
It would be a ballot. It would be a constitutional amendment where the people would vote on it in 2016.
Beyond the ballot?
Yeah,
beyond the ballot. How long would that be?
Pardon me?
How long would it take before it would actually end up on the ballot?
Well, after the 160-some thousand signatures are gathered in 6 of the 8 congressional districts in Missouri, then it would go on the ballot. So if we didn't achieve those signatures, or the other two initiatives that are proposed in Missouri, you know, don't receive those signatures, you know, they won't be on the ballot. So
I'm just wondering what kind of time frame we're talking about.
Well,
the reason I'm asking that is there's a lot of children that are suffering.
It would be
right
voted
now.
On either in August 2016 by the people, or November 2016, because we saw that happen this last election where Amendment 1 and Amendment 7 was put on the August primary election.
All right. Hey, I'm sorry. While we're going on with the conversations here, we had other people calling in, and I guess because of the snow, we have a lot of lost signals and things going on. So just organizing everybody. This is wonderful having the Facebook thing, because if I could just get it to talk to us, it'd
yeah.
be wonderful. Jacob is going to be trying to call in a minute, I understand,
okay.
And we're looking for some other calls to come in, because I know there was other pieces of legislation that are out there, like 11, which is like, my goodness. Yeah, I think it's really imperative that each group, all 11 of these authors, get in the same room and get on the same page, because having it scattered like this shows weak ground, that shaky ground that we're standing on, and that we're waiting for something strong that everybody can rally around. We don't want to hear 11 pieces of legislation. We want to hear our kids are going to get the medicine that they need to be not having such bad reactions to treatment.
Yeah.
We need to offer a kinder way to heal our people, and in a way that really works, proven to work.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing about it is we don't want to become a green orbis where the snake has eaten its tail. You know what I mean? If we could have one unified initiative or bill that everybody would just love and could get behind, you know, that would be fantastic, because the more groups you have involved in Missouri, the more division there's going to be, and, you know, one group attacking another group and so forth. So.
Right, and we all want the same thing.
Exactly.
We've got a caller calling in, and we're going to have him join us right now. Vince, don't take me rude if I ask you to clear the line off just so we can get somebody in, because I'm trying
yeah,
to get everybody.
I'll do that, and if, like I said, I'll make a Facebook comment or what have you that you could read if.
Oh, cool! Yeah, that'll work out great. So we have such little time, and this is like a subject we could talk about, and we're all passionate.
Thank you very much for having me on. I sure appreciate
you. You know, I'm so grateful for you and the work that you're doing. Everyone in this room is, and everybody who's listening is grateful for for you putting yourself out there. I heard this term: there's the suits, there's the heads, and there's the closets, and it's the suits' job to make the closets comfortable to come out. The suits and the heads need to make it comfortable for the closet people to come out, because people are fearful of retribution for speaking out about this. They're afraid of the police kicking in their doors, just even suspecting, because they're talking about it. And everybody's taking a chance here coming out. And it is, and we're coming out. we need to take a really quick break, and we're going to gather and collect our thoughts because I've run off the clock. Bad Jessica, you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. We're going to take a quick break for some PSAs in our calendar.
Now, the calendar for February 16th, 2015. You are invited to attend the Kansas City chapter of Amnesty International's monthly meeting on Tuesday, February 17th at 7 p.m. The meeting will be at the Next Space Gallery, 512 East 18th Street, KCMO. Their guest speaker will be Mike Fonkert of Kansas Coalition Against the Death Penalty. He'll talk about the current abolition bill in Kansas and much more. Refreshments will be provided. The Greater Kansas City Reentry Team Quarterly Meeting will be held Thursday, February 19th, 9 to 11 a.m. at the MCC Pioneer Campus Auditorium, 2700 East 18th Street, KCMO. This meeting will include a reentry simulation exercise facilitated by Corey Thiessen, Reentry Affairs Coordinator at the U.S. Penitentiary, Leavenworth, Kansas. Experience the hidden obstacles and barriers to reentry. KKFI will be airing live the 17th Annual Homelessness Marathon starting at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, February 17th, and ending 14 hours later at 8 a.m. on Wednesday, February 18th. This is America's only national broadcast focusing on raising awareness of homelessness and educating listeners about poverty. This year, the broadcast will originate live from Sarasota, Florida, where they will highlight the growing trend of cities writing laws that try to eliminate homelessness by making it illegal. Call-in numbers for the broadcast will be, if you are housed or homeless, 877-NOBODY-8. That's 877-662-6398. Or, if you're homeless, formerly homeless, or afraid you're about to be homeless, you can also call 866-LEFT-OUT. That's 866-533-8688. My name is Jeff Humfeld, reminding you that these events and more can be found in the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website. That's kkfi.org.
And we're back from our little break there, and you're listening to the Kansas City Jaws of Justice, your radio program. Get justice for our community at 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. I'm your host, Jessica Thomas. This morning in the studio with me, Jim. And Jim is a parent of a child who's undergoing a treatment for leukemia in a hospital here in Kansas City. And his child does receive a synthetic THC. And Jim was so gracious to come and keep me company in here because everybody else is via telephone because of the weather or the fact that they're activists around the community with other parts of and I do want to welcome back into the conversation our phone caller, so they're going to join us as well, Jim. Good morning, caller. Can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
Hi, great to be on your show, Jessica. My name is Jacob Skoronsky, and I am calling from Midtown in Kansas City.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I know that you are, for one, with the newly formed Western Missouri Normal chapter.
That's correct.
And you guys kind of, the Normal have, are they kind of backing something, a piece of legislation?
Well, you know, the great thing about the Normal organization is that their mission is to support any cannabis law reform efforts around the country, in our case, Kansas City and Missouri, that are better than the status quo. So really any change that we can cause, you know, that gets rid of some of this injustice that's been perpetuated, you know, we're going to support is really what it comes down to. You know, there are a few different ways that we can, you know, affect public policy. And you mentioned those 11 pieces of legislation that are going on in the state capitol right now.
Right, and that's just a swirl of papers, huh?
Right. There's so many different ones.
Well, who's introducing all of these? Who created all of these 11 pieces? Do you know?
Yeah. I actually went down to Lobby Day on February 10th and talked to a few of these guys. I spoke with Representative Brandon Ellington, and he's from Kansas City, and he's proposing this House Joint Resolution 15, and it wants to change the law, cannabis policy, to regulate it just like we do alcohol. And he was actually talking about wanting to have a constitutional amendment come up for November of 2016 that will lead to, like, patient cultivation rights and dispensing rights and stuff like that.
I mean, doesn't it seem that, like, mentioning regulating like alcohol and cannabis in the same sentence is like a slap in the face to everything that's good about the plant? And we're not trying to push it like alcohol.
Yes.
It's got nothing to do with alcohol. It's got to do with wellness. We're glossing over the fact that this is something that affects 198 receptors in your brain that will change your state of well-being from you're going to die to you're going to live for a long time. So does there any piece that you understand that focuses on that fact, or is this all just kind of like, let's just cut it loose and make money, boys? What's going on here? We want to know.
It kind of seems like that. I like the, you understand that the endocannabinoid system, you know, that we have
a deficiency.
It goes much deeper than, you know, just my right to get high. Like, there is so much medicinal benefit for so many different people.
I think that there's going to be a supplement in the future. It's going to be a supplement, like a fish oil.
I think every man, woman, and child in America needs to be on it to protect them from the environmental damage that's being laid down on us now.
Well, the oils aren't psychoactive.
No. And there is how many different CBDs in a plant? You're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. But, you know, I think we're all on the same page here. I think that as long as we can do the work that needs to be done now to get public support behind something that should have been done decades ago, we can each small step, each success, if we can change the law once, we can change it again. And I think you're right. I think that we need to eventually get to that point where it's not like alcohol, because it isn't. It's non-toxic, and, you know, we should be taking it like fish oil, like you said. But in Missouri, we have a lot of small hurdles, I think.
Education sounds like one, like town halls, but not town halls like, let's get high. It's like town halls like, let's dispel the myths around this 95 years. And I don't know if anybody else is not as upset about this as a lot of people are, that for 95 years our government has basically enslaved us, tortured us, tore apart our families, taken everything we own, and then now wants to turn around and be the good guy and say, oh, it's okay, we were wrong 95 years and destroyed everything and made a mess of the planet. And but now we have the opportunity, you know, for them to be the distributors or to regulate it is kind of ridiculous and ludicrous. However, I'm saying there is a place for government. I'm not sure where that is. I'm not going to say exactly, but we the people have really spoken that, you know, the healings of the nation has begun once that first seed of hemp was planted. The healing began. And the nation's healing has began. And it has begun, and it will go on.
Jason, I saw you down at Jeff City. I think we met down there. Are you there?
Jacob?
Good morning. This is Jim.
Jim? Oh,
yeah.
Jim.
Yeah,
what's up?
Hey, so what did you think? What was the the mood down at Jeff City. What did you think?
As far as the Congress people activists?
The Congress. Because that's really what matters.
Yeah.
To get the law changed, we have to convince the Congress, the people there, that what's going on and what we need to do to make this change. And even if it's a little change, we do little steps, it's better than doing nothing at all. So what did you think was the mood down there?
Well, I'm optimistic. I think that there will always be those representatives who just, you know, just nod and like, okay, leave me alone. This isn't my issue.
Right.
But there are a lot of them that I can tell have been exposed to a lot of the information that's been going, you know, flying through the airwaves about this plant and dispelling a lot of the myths that, and wrong preconceptions that they've had. So I think there is an air of change in the state capitol.
Hey, yes, Jacob.
That's the feeling I got too.
Yeah, we're going to introduce into the conversation another caller, just because we want to get as many voices in here as possible.
Excellent.
Awesome. So, go ahead, caller. Who can you tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
This is Amber Iris Langston. I'm with Shemmy Cannabis. I'm here in Kansas City.
The face of cannabis reform. I love that. I saw that article.
Good morning, Amber.
How's it going?
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And as you can hear the conversation kind of going along, we've had a lot of different, authors of pieces of legislation calling in. We've got, West Missouri, newly formed, Normal chapter that's, taking a newer direction. And then we have Show Me Cannabis. We have a patient represented. And, now what does, Show Me Cannabis's, what they're backing as far as a piece. Are you guys behind one piece firmly? And do you know about those other 11 or the other 10?
Well, I guess I'm not entirely clear on which 11 you're referring to. So I'm guessing you're talking about pieces of legislation that have been introduced.
Yes, that's exactly what
okay.
I was speaking about.
So Show Me Cannabis, of course, our ultimate end goal is to fully legalize marijuana for adults and for patients. And we're working to put a measure on the ballot in November 2016. So that is one of two ways in which you can get these laws to happen. So we feel like we've got to probably take it directly to the people. However, we are, you know, working with the legislature in Missouri to try and move forward anything that is going to help people, help patients in particular who, you know, don't have time. So there are a number of bills that have been introduced, and, you know, it's important to remember that we don't have much control over what legislators do or want to do.
Oh, we definitely have control over what legislators do.
Hearing voices,
we have control
in the Capitol on the ground, and that's why we had, you know, that lobby day last week. So, you know, some bills are maybe better than others, but unfortunately, politics are going to show that some bills have more favorability depending on how far those people introducing the bills want to take them. So,
right.
You know, my favorite is probably Senate Bill 395, which has been introduced by Senator Holtzman. That is a medical cannabis bill. It's not perfect, but you know, it's pretty good, and it's important to understand too that bills between, you know, that are in the House and the Senate, if they pass one of those houses, they're going to get sent over to the other house. And if there are, if there's a good bill in the Senate and we have maybe not as great of a bill in the House, like we have with House Bill 800, which is the one that seems to have the most legs, hopefully if we can get it past the House, we can move it over to the Senate and we can have some of those conversations about what the better, situations might be. For example, HB 800 doesn't allow home grow. It doesn't, it limits the number of dispensaries to 30, but it does actually, you know, at least provide, a full plant, cannabis and includes, you know, a number of conditions, including PTSD, which I'm really happy to see.
Yeah, I mean, being that the VA did just approve that the doctors now in legal states can recommend to their vets to cannabis prescriptions for PTSD, so that's a huge leap forward on the federal front. And, but we absolutely do have an influence over what those legislators are going to do. It's called dollars and it's called your funders. But when your funders see 11 different pieces, they're like, oh heck no, we're going to Illinois because Illinois has one that everybody got in a room with and agreed on. So when you get a look at what states are going to turn next, it's going to be Illinois, it's going to be Florida, it's going to be all of these other places, but not Missouri. And the only reason that we have to blame is ourselves. So it's like, let's roll up our sleeves, Jessica.
I've known people working on the bills in Illinois, and it's taken a long time.
Well, I'm just using Illinois as an example.
A conversation in Missouri. So, I mean, I think we're actually doing a pretty decent job of, showing where the people are, because, like you said, it is money. There are people who are interested in this who are from out of state that are starting to talk to people behind the scenes that we, the people, don't have control of or access to.
So exactly.
The best we can do is, like, you're right, absolutely. We need to be as unified as possible on what we want. And so, what we have to do is say, yes, we support this, but here are the problems with it. As a unified group, say that it's really important that patients have access, that this does not cost too much money for people to get involved, for example.
And that they could grow enough to make their own medicine and not be out in the woods. I mean, when you get a diagnosis of cancer, you're worth $300,000 to any cancer treatment facility, as opposed to, say, having access to purchase a pound of cannabis to make your medicine, running the average prices between $3,500 and $4,500, to say. And that is 1% of what that would have cost you. You shouldn't have to lose everything because you're not well, to hospitals and services and something that's, it's like questionable. And we know that we've got proof here. And did I hear something about before there was not enough research to make a decision about the medical efficacy of cannabis, but now there's too much research to go through? Have you heard that?
I didn't say that.
No, I've actually heard somebody say
overwhelming for sure.
I heard
perhaps people can sort of decide they don't want to pay attention because they're overwhelmed. But I don't know. I'm a fan of science, so yeah, the more the merrier.
I think the more real science that we can actually see on the table, the more the doctors and the more we'll get the medical side on board. I've heard a lot from the doctors that they say that they don't have definitive proof.
Well,
they really need proof.
Go to PubMed.gov and
they just don't. They don't feel that comfortable with it. So it's a matter of being educated and having their studies done so that they can see the proof.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of that's kind of lip service. If you get a lot of these legislators to the side and speak with them privately, they'll say they get it. They know, they understand, but they just have that fear of negative political repercussions. So it's educating them about it, but it's also, affirming for them that the people really do get this issue, that the people get this issue, that the people are the ones that want this change. That would be my opinion. Although, clearly, there's a lot of education still to be done.
You know what, you guys, everybody on the line and in the room right now, I got to let you know that we have to absolutely be off in 6 minutes. You can skip the drug war news because we're reporting on the drug war news right now. But we got to be out of here in 6 minutes, so we got to wrap up and kind of make our impact statements right now.
I think everybody listening needs to reach out to the politicians that they know. They need to tell them.
And tell somebody the truth.
To them, and they need to spread the word. Just keep spreading the word.
Exactly right, Jim. Exactly right.
And how are you doing back there? We got Jacob in the background over there.
Oh, going well, I guess I would have to say.
How can people get involved?
I encourage everybody to reach out to get involved.
How can they? How can they get involved with you guys, Jacob? This is you guys haven't been formed very long, have you?
No, we haven't. We're actually in development of the website. So I would normally just say go to westmissourinormal.org, but it's not quite finished yet. But yeah, we're going to start having biweekly meetings and
start hosting like town halls and certain educational events. So you'll see us around.
That's exciting. That's exciting because it's coming our way. And the truth is going to be heard.
The next time we have a lobby in Jeff City, if you can come down there, you can take time off to come down there. It's a really good experience, and the more people that are down there, the more people that will wake up.
I agree. We still got 5 minutes, though, so we all wrapped up. We're like all clammed up because we only got 5 minutes left. But that brings us like Show Me Cannabis is doing a really spectacular job on getting press out there, and we really want to thank you guys for that. And I'm glad to hear like we've got something going on in the Kansas City area with Normal, which is exciting, a new chapter and a lot of new members coming in, and you guys are kind of in the you're out there recruiting.
Yeah.
Right.
We're making people know it's normal to support cannabis law reform.
Yeah. So. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that when they initially made this illegal, a lot of people didn't know what they were voting for. They were voting for something, some evil marijuana plant that they'd never heard of. And what you look at 95 to 100 years ago, cannabis was a primary ingredient in just about every one of our medicinal preparations.
Well, down where I live, where I grew up in Richmond, the cannabis in Richmond and Ray and Lafayette County was one of the best cash crops in the late 1800s. And it's still growing on the levees down there. This is hemp. It's not the stuff that gets you high, but it's a great industrial product, and they outlawed that at the same time. Now we import hemp from other countries. It makes no sense. In fact, we could even use this in my manufacturing plant.
Indeed.
But we can't do it, so it's silly.
The profit goes to other countries that are.
Yes.
Oh, right on.
So. Well, yeah, you know, hemp is a huge thing, and I think once the industry becomes legal in Missouri, we're going to be kind of like we are with wine, and cannabis is, it will have a few good strains or something, but it's just going to be a little niche industry. But industrial hemp, this state of Missouri, man, we stand to really be the leaders in this country, and I really hope we can get that done. So, you know, there actually are a couple of hemp bills that have been introduced in both the House and the Senate that should probably be mentioned as well, Senate Bill 255. And then let's see, we find the other one.
Right. Well, there were some licenses that were just issued or the hemp thing was, and we just were at the tip of the iceberg in like 2 minutes to go, but really quickly, Amber, we did pass a hemp or CBD bill. And so now there's licenses available. Speak to that in just a couple, like really quick so I can just wrap it up because we got like 1.5 minutes.
Okay, sure. So the hemp CBD oil has passed through the legislature this last session, signed by the governor, and sometime in the next couple weeks this month, we're expecting 2 licenses to be given out by the Department of Agriculture, and those would each go to a nonprofit, which can then have up to 3 dispensaries apiece to sell the CBD oil. It's only for intractable epilepsy. It's got a lot of restrictions on it, so there are very few people that qualify right now. So that's another bill that has been introduced this session or will be introduced that would expand upon that CBD oil bill. So I think that at the very minimum, if we don't get medical, hopefully we can at least get the CBD oil expanded to other illnesses so it's not quite so restrictive that you don't have to have like 2 neurologists signing off. You can have a general physician, and then also we can have a few more distribution sites. So that's another hopeful thing to look forward to if we're not able to get something, you know, better and more compassionate passed through the legislature. But people are talking about it. They are starting to understand this issue. It's like other callers have said, we just got to keep letting our politicians know that this is important to us and we really want this change.
And just to summarize really quickly, and people are out there looking for help. It's like, how are we going to get those licenses? Is it a lottery? Who do you have to buy that license? There's only 2. Is that going to go to the Native Americans? Because they've got over 100 tribes right now that are going to scoop all of us people sitting on our hands because they've got the legalized right to do it and they're growing. So it's like, you know, we've got so many issues to address. I want to thank everybody that joined us this morning because I got to wrap it up. It's time. Jeff is like going, get off the air. But you've been listening to, I want to thank both of my callers for calling in. Everybody who called in, Jim for coming in, braving the weather this morning. You're tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. I'm Jessica Thomas. We're out. Hang on, guys.
Ready? One, two, three. Here in my prime, what am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it some way, somehow? Well, maybe I'm not.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Mid-Coast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcasts on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce Jaws of Justice Radio, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live and find podcasts of our show on the KKFI website, that is kkfi.org. We thank our engineer, Beth Pipe, for her work today. My name is Melvin Merritt, asking you to tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Claymer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Beautician Blues with Luscious Liam, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Ho. Stick around for jazz and blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musicale.
Myself how to understand, gonna make myself a better man.